Ms Hampton, I'd like to just acknowledge that you've had so many reports on tonight's agenda, and I do want you to pass on thanks to staff for all the reports and all the work that's gone in, and acknowledge that the new reporting style is easier to read. So thank you very much. Pass that on to staff, please. All right, moving on to the now consideration of new initiatives. So I'll come back to you, Councillor Telfy. This was the one I think you were burning for.
I would move this. And as I was saying, in point four, there is a list of important things that we intend to do. And it does include the enterprise data warehousing and the project management. So I guess my question is, if we pass this in this form, is it necessary to look at a later motion in the agenda that also references these?
If it's covered in this one, we won't need to do that in the latter part of the agenda. So yeah, I'd already asked that question of staff earlier. Thanks. Right. Thank you, Councillor Telfer.
Okay. This is a big budget spend, but it's orderly and it's exciting. It spreads throughout our city. One of the exciting ones, obviously, is the coastal walkway reinstatement, which is getting tired. The tennis facilities at Secombe Heights are now unusable by the Dover Gardens Club, so it is necessary to sort that one. We have quite a lot of projects that look at upgrading our ICT systems, and I look forward to better systems of project management and better systems of having a data that is available so that our staff can work on something more than Excel spreadsheets. So over and above the capital works, we also have some worthwhile things for our staff to work with greater efficiency.
Okay. Do I have someone to second the motion? Seconded. Councillor Hull, thank you. Can I just verify with you, Councillor Telfer, were you recommending that all of these points here be included in the motion? Okay. Councillor Hull, would you wish to talk to it, please?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. During our ward, not ward briefing, the committee meeting we had the other night, elected members forum. I made the point that we have been really thrashing ourselves over very little. It's a fantastic position to be in to even be able to think about a lot of these things above and beyond the run-of-the-mill stuff that we hear the media talk about so much, roads, rubbish. All of these things are much more than that. And all of these things will have significant impact on our communities and significant recognition in their own rights. And a lot of them are actually the beginning of a journey with these new initiatives. And before anybody brings it up, because I only have one bite of the cherry, Madam Deputy Mayor, the issue of Indigenous and disability traineeships is a whopper. Only a couple of days ago I met with the HR advisor for the Oaklands Crossing and told her of the possibility of us approving this tonight. She was so glad to hear that, and I asked her to contact Mr. Skull, because she's hoping to actually have that very engagement in that project. And wouldn't it be great if we could actually jointly ensure that those opportunities are available for disability traineeships and Indigenous traineeships. With the landscaping component that the City of Marion is endeavouring on, $5 million worth actually, wouldn't it be great to have Indigenous people and disabled people involved in that aspect of it alone? something that the Aboriginal community have done for many projects, the Southern Expressway. It's nothing new for them. One would argue they've got some expertise in that area. So there's some really, apart from that, there's some really good things in here as well. From the top to the bottom of the city. Tennis facilities at Seacombe Heights. That's a joint one, I believe, with the school up there. We've already touched on the enterprise data warehouse, and that will resolve a matter later in the agenda, which is great. The Fringe Hub. For the first time, we might be able to bring something that's an institution in Adelaide.
10 seconds left, Councillor Hull.
To our city, to actually have that ability for people, particularly if they're compromised in terms of transport, to actually go and see a Fringe event here in Marion. Councils all around the state are doing it. Even Port Augusta, I think, has had a Fringe event. So I'm happy to second the motion.
Questions? Councillor Crossland?
Procedural motion to suspend standing order so we can actually go through and workshop all those items in that list.
Someone to second that motion? Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Those against? It's carried by majority. Councillor Velisca, you have a question?
Question, just on the procedure. So if the mover and seconder can still contribute to the debate on this?
Yes, it was only suspending.
Yeah.
So, no, we now move into a time without formal procedures.
But in the motion they can't talk or...
Sorry, say again?
What are the limitations? Can the mover and seconder for that procedural motion speak in the motion now? When we go back out of...
When we go back into formal proceedings is what your question is.
Yeah, so through the chair, while we've suspended formal proceedings, any member can speak. When we resume standing orders, those that have already spoken to the motion won't be able to.
But the question was the person who moved and seconded to go into...
Sorry, yeah, through the chair, it's a procedural motion, so that is fine.
Okay, shall we go round the circle and giving everyone a chance to talk? Do we want to... We did a vote last time, and we do have pieces of paper for people to vote on the particular items. No. Mr. Mifsud.
Through the chair, Councillor Hull, yes, Council does have the funding capacity to do all of those items on the list if you wish.
Through the chair, there would be a funding all of the items on the list. There would leave a surplus of 79,000. These projects, 1.798 million. Some of which are proposed to be funded through reserves. Two of those items.
Look at page 99. Yeah. It's on that page.
Question.
Councillor Crossland.
If we chose not to fund all these items, could we actually lower the rates further to save residents money?
Through the chair, yes, you could.
Yeah. And roughly how much would each point rate rise lead to a reduction? So, for example, instead of 1.8, we went to 1.7. How much money would that save?
Through the chair, 0.1 of a percent is roughly $79,000.
Thank you.
Councillor Velisca.
Your Worship, I was wondering if we just wanted to go through each item and get an indication of which items had support to stay in there, and then perhaps have a discussion on the items that didn't have the support, so people can have that debate
Yeah, I think it's important to note comments also on each of the different points. So I think we'll start now. Would people like to have the this
can we
list
do a show of hands?
We can do a show of hands. All right, so Marion Cultural Centre External Hire Enhancement Project. So if you're looking at your resolution on page, the list there on page 97, we've got the list up there, but the actual details of that one is on page 104. Hopefully I can help people by moving around in the documents as to what page you're looking at. 104 is the new initiative overview for Marion Cultural Centre External Hire Enhancement Project. Does anyone wish to ask a question about that one or make a comment on it? Councillor Hull.
Madam Deputy Mayor, we have had some quite successful markets over there in the plaza, and unfortunately a lot of people displaying their artistic ability to sell jewellery and all sorts of bits and pieces had to rely on their customers I can show you how it's done. Basically, they had to do this to actually see the intricacy of the artworks. I don't think that those stallholders relying on customers with iPhone torches is really a satisfactory situation. Now, there's more to it than that, of course, but if we want to have those sort of markets and create that activity and well-being in our community where people can come out and as a community and get around in our plaza, we need to facilitate it. It's as simple as that. Otherwise, maybe we shouldn't have the markets at all, because I just think it's embarrassing that we rely on people to come along with torches.
I remember that night, Councillor Hull. Yes. So, anyone else wish to make a comment on that, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, it's a comment and a question. Look, I'm happy to encourage markets and actually activate these spaces. My main concern with this one would be, are we not still looking at developing this area, or are we now spending money on it and we've drawn a line that that's all that's going to happen there?
I can answer that through the chair. We're certainly looking at enhancing to that cultural centre area to get living edges around the area so that we can actually bring more life into the place, have food service at al fresco outside. So there'll be significant effort put into that along with the Oaklands Crossing project.
So I suppose the follow-on to that, to Mr. Skull, is if we spend this money on these lights, can I have your personal guarantee that the lights won't be scrapped in a couple of years' time for some other project?
Item 9 on the list is the MCC Plaza activation. That I'm not answering your question, Councillor. I have a personal guarantee. We need lights in that area, and of course the location of the lights and the types of lights need to be coordinated with the bigger activation project, so we wouldn't be doing it in isolation.
All right, so if there's no more comments, can we have a show of hands, those who are in favour of this item? So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that means 3 against.
And can we have that count again?
Yeah. I'm counting myself, sorry. I will acknowledge that if that makes it easier for people. I will state that. It does say in the thing I only have to do that if I'm against something, but I will make that point while we're in this time. Yes, Councillor Pryor.
A point of clarification. This appears in the long-term financial plan as $10,000, and in the yearly budget is $55,000. Is that right? Just on the...
Through the chair.
Voice.
I think the initial expenditure is public expenditure, but it is intended to raise revenue after that.
Okay, so the revenue is going to cover money in the long-term financial plan. Is it?
Yeah, well, it's $5,000 per annum is the estimate of revenue from the initial expenditure. So
Okay, so my next question is how something like the, let's say, the Valuing Marion's Nature program, it's $30,000 in the first year and $300,000 in the long-term financial plan, which looks like 10 times 30 to me. So...
that is...
okay, I'll let it slide. It's fine.
I guess I think we need to do all the stuff with the computers, the computer systems. I believe that there have been some things that staff have put on the back burner or removed, and staff have indicated the value, quite strongly, the value of these computer programs being the asset management system, project management system and the enterprise data warehouse. Now, there is a foreshadowed motion to stagger those. I personally think if to have those available as soon as possible. But are there any reasons that staff think it's better to have it as soon as possible? And I'm quite happy that other staff contribute to the debate as well. I know yes. Mr. Lyons was quite emphatic in his discussion, so...
yeah, thank you through the Chair. I guess from my perspective, from a person that would be coordinating the asset management and project management, well, actually all three of the projects, my preference would be to move on those as soon as possible, particularly the project management system. We are using a system at the moment that is a very manual system and not integrated or not able to integrate with our financial system. And in terms of project management, the financial oversight and the milestone development is a very important element of that. The asset management system impacts almost every element of our organisation. As you are well aware, we manage over $1 billion of assets and we've got a system that's not delivering what we need it to do in terms of good asset management. So it's certainly something I'd like to move on as quickly as possible.
Thank you.
Through the Chair, my role in this business is not a provider of systems but as a user, and I can say that all three of these systems is going to make my life a lot easier. The asset management system, as Fiona has correctly said, is used from all parts of the business, and we've got a huge amount of assets, and Matt in particular with field services, we use that extensively. Project management system in all of the projects we run, and I've already spoken about the data warehouse. We're spending a lot of time generating metrics and working out how our business runs, and I'd love to display that on an automatic basis every month, and that'll make my life very easy. Thank you.
And Councillor Crossland, then Prior.
Yeah, look, I'll speak in favour. Look, I was reticent about the asset management system and whether it should be staggered, but look, if it's going to prove to provide efficiencies to council and give us better efficiencies in staff time, then I'm willing to support it. And I'd also recommend, as I think Councillor Valescu said, that we move those three items on block.
Councillor Pryor, you're next.
Yeah, I've just got a couple more questions about some of the sort of mid-range to bigger ticket items that we seem to be putting here. I don't disagree with doing these projects. I'm not sure this is the way to do it. The coastal walkway reinstatement and the tennis facilities at Seacombe Heights.
No, we're just talking about the asset management systems and the project management system. We're doing the others line by line. So we're talking about the replacement of the asset management ICT system at the moment, which is on page 108. And people have suggested we look at the three systems together, but I'll actually ask for a vote on the three of them. We'll discuss them now, but I'll ask for a vote on each one separately. So we are looking at number 2 on our list, number 7 and number 12 on our list at the moment. That's all.
I have no problem with any of those.
Okay. Councillor Hull.
With this IT stuff, I really don't know why we're thrashing ourselves, like I said. Just to preface that, My experience in the past, in budgets in the past, is we haven't had enough money to do stuff, and then we crucify ourselves as to what we're going to drop off to actually either balance the budget or actually do stuff. So this is quite a different experience for me. With this particular item, Madam Deputy Mayor, we can hardly actually challenge our staff and say, why aren't you coming to us and ask for advancement in IT programs and make proposals to us, and then get to this point and say, oh, I don't know. You think next year, year after? I don't think we should be giving mixed messages to our staff. Like when I say to John Dealey, well, you know, what do you want? And then we get a report saying, well, this is what we want. We should just accept it and understand that there's a lot of benefits in actually providing the funding to buy those programs. We are coming from the dark ages in terms of software, guys. We all know that. So don't be surprised if we actually have a couple of items put to us that only cost a quid to drag us up from the dark ages with Lotus Notes and all that crap we had to put up with. So, you know, what are we even talking about this? I really don't know. We should be just throwing our hands up and agreeing to it.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. So anyone else wanting to make a comment, or can we vote on number two? Show of hands as to who's supporting number two, replacement of the asset management system. All right, we'll do all three. 2, 7 and 12. So who's supporting the replacement of all of those systems? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and myself, 6. 6-2 for all three. All right, we're moving on to number three, and that's the design for erosion control at River Parade, Hallett Cove, and that is on page 112. Councillor Crossland.
I'll just speak very briefly on this. A bit of history. There was a report done in 2012 that recommended that the City of Marion engage the services of an engineer to look at designs for erosion control. It's also in our business plan. The reason I'd like this to go forward is we have had some serious erosion along this stretch of the coast. At the moment, we don't know what the solution is, if there is one, and we don't know the cost. So ultimately, for planning and for looking to the future, it would be nice to know what type of money we're talking when we have to actually start building some form of a structure there. I certainly would like to know if we're talking hundreds of thousands or whether we're talking millions, because that would help council look at strategic options on whether we save some of that infrastructure or not.
So it drops down to the Field River, right? Deputy Mayor, if you drive down the Southern Expressway and glance across to some of the erosion where trail bikes and four-wheel drives have been going up, I can well understand what Councillor Crosland's talking about, because it's right in your face as you drive down there. And really, we need to address those issues if that's what Councillor Crosland's talking about. Otherwise, we'll pay the price eventually.
Yeah, sorry, just in case there's confusion, this is for sea erosion, coastal erosion by the sea. Sorry, that's the whole.
Right, so it is where River Parade and the Hallett Cove foreshore is. It is along that section to help you. So it's actually Hallett Cove Beach in all effects.
Correct.
All right, can I have a show of hands on this one, please? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and myself, 6. 6 and 2. Moving on to number 4, which is the City of Marion Fridge Hub at the Marion Cultural Centre on page 114.
Your worship.
Did I say fridge? Sorry. Fridge. It's when I swallow my words, yeah.
Your Worship, I'd like us to consider this. There is some funding, or there's some revenue that is projected from this. will be part of pretty much the biggest event that Adelaide has on an annual basis, and it's just getting bigger. And it provides the opportunity for people in the area to participate more instead of having to go into town. This is nowhere near what other councils are spending, particularly City of Adelaide. I guess a modest investment. Also looking at some of the events that we have are quite successful, but they're one-offs and we're spending a lot more money than this. So we're actually able to leverage some of the branding and advertising that the Fringe has for this event. And I believe it'll be a Fringe Hub for a four or five week period. So if I've corrected?
Through the chair, for 2 weekends during the Fringe, Thursday to a Sunday for two weekends. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so it's effectively a week. So, but yeah, I think that is, and it's one-off, so it gives us a good opportunity to see how that works and build up our brand. I wouldn't be supporting lots more money than this, but I think it is a modest investment, considering what we spend on other pursuits, such as sporting in our area.
Okay, Councillor Hull.
Madam Deputy Mayor, I support Councillor Blescu on this. This is little old Marion, little old suburban Marion, dragging itself out of the suburban cringe to the Fringe. I think this is a giant leap in terms of our psyche, how we perceive ourselves, that we actually can actually even think about accommodating or participating in the second biggest Fringe in the world outside of Edinburgh and Scotland. And I just think that we should be doing this because we actually have catered well to sporting fraternities tonight across the agenda, but we actually rarely focus on the arts. And this is the arts because of comedy and everything else that goes to the Fringe. This is a rare time out to consider another aspect of our community. Not only those who might wish to perform, but to actually go along and when you go to a Fringe, you're almost participating anyway, but to actually be able to go along as a member of the crowd and witness it. Just as you might go along in the crowd to watch a football game, tennis game, cricket or whatever else. So this is just a little opportunity for that section of the community. It's not too much to ask for that we actually indulge in our budget to enable this to happen.
Okay. Can I have a show of hands on that one? Yeah, question?
Sorry, just to clarify, is this a one-off and review or is this ongoing funding?
One-off and review, is that it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I have a show of hands? Okay, so it's 5 plus 1, 6. Again, 6 and 2. Okay, moving on to number 5, Indigenous and Disability Traineeships, and they're on page 116.
Deputy Mayor, could I actually direct a question to the CEO see if he actually is willing to explore what I mentioned about, particularly about the Oakens Crossing, and ask him to better explain what he's got in mind with this. I believe, like the gap year proposal, it is actually the CEO's idea. This is what we pay him for, and I'd love it if Adrian could explain this to us.
I think we've got a Reconciliation Action Plan that we need to actually put into practice. I feel that we are not actually living that, nor our equity and diversity policy, and it would be great to get some Indigenous trainees on board and some peoples with disability to work in the organisation and give them a chance. I have talked with another council about an opportunity to maybe expand this or change it slightly by looking at supporting the education of the people from an Aboriginal Indigenous background and with disability to support their studies as well, which would be an even better proposition. But what we're trying to do is to be looking after the people within our community who are students graduating from school, which we've done with a gap year, and we're up for an award on the 6th of April for that, to then look at people with disability and people from an Indigenous background. We do have some people with Indigenous backgrounds, but we can do a lot better. And the idea about working with Oakland's Crossing, I'm excited about, because we could do this together very easily and maybe even combine the two projects.
Councillor Velescu, then Crossland.
I wanted to clarify, how many hours a week would these people be working in our city? Or is there a rough estimate?
Through the chair, I'm not sure of exactly the arrangement, except that the trainees go to TAFE generally to get qualification, and the rest of the time they're working with us. So I believe it's about, we did one of these at Yankalilla, and they were worked 2 days a week at TAFE and 3 days working with council. And if we had the same arrangement, there's grant funding for their studies, and you're also getting a qualified person at the end of their studies. So it's roughly in that three-fifths arrangement.
Thank you. Again, a couple of questions to the CEO. Number one, my understanding was that we've pretty much changed all our employment rules through our HR to positively discriminate towards people from an Indigenous background. I'm also aware that we've had some staff turnover with roles that no longer are existing in the City of Marion. Is it not something which you as the CEO could actually introduce within your current workforce without having to ask council for more staff and more money?
In answer to the question, I'm not sure about positive discrimination. We've made a commitment to appoint people on merit. If someone applied for a job and they had the same qualifications and experience for a regular job as somebody from an Indigenous background, the Indigenous background would get it. But we certainly want people who are able to do the job well in the place, because I think we're actually making a lot of inroads into being a better business in many areas, and we want to do that. So yes, we could, no worries, employ people who got the skills and competence and training if they come from those backgrounds, if they qualify in a merit field, in a competitive field. So yes, we could, but these are traineeships, so these are actually kickstarting people's careers, really, if you like, even though they could be any age, by giving them opportunities for education and work experience at the same time. So that's a little bit different to employing a regular staff member.
But my understanding is, through the funding that we already give you, you could utilise that funding to fund 2, 3, 4 people, if you like, similar to this project here, where that funding comes from your existing employment budget and staff criteria. It wouldn't necessitate this type of a project being brought to council.
It's a good question. Can we do it? Well, it depends on what's happening at the time, because our staffing budget is pretty tight. They're pretty tightly stretched in many areas, so there's not much leeway, if you like, with that to actually fund 4 positions. The other thing is that we've got KPIs to not increase the staffing costs, and I'm being very careful about that, and that's why it's coming to council. But this is coming to council mainly because it's actually saying that do we actually want to go out, get traineeships for people with disability and Indigenous. And I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly, can I do it? I would be stretched to do it.
You'd be stretched, but you could do it. My last question is I sometimes question, we have the 2 placements we've currently got, and now we're looking at possibly 2, 4 more placements. I'm trying to work out what's the cost benefit for this amount of money. It's over $1 million for our ratepayers, because $1 million for 4 people over the next whatever years, 10 years, it could be spent on a lot of people, a lot of ratepayers, a lot of disadvantaged youth, people from multicultural backgrounds. They're not represented in this plan, and that's where I'm concerned. And I don't see the ongoing benefit. I would love to see a plan where we target young people, we get them through training, through education, with an end game of a job with the City of Marion that benefits ratepayers. I don't see it with this plan.
I could reply to that by saying that we, in the time that they're working with us, they wouldn't be twiddling their fingers and they'd be doing a job which actually is contributing to the outcomes for our resident. So that they would actually be doing something rather than stuffing envelopes. I can see the point, and it could be that we put this on as a trial, perhaps, to see how we go, because it's certainly not going to be easy to get the right people and to get them being really delivering for our community. So it could be that rather than 10 years, that council uses this as a trial, perhaps.
Councillor Appleby and then Villescu.
Is there a reason that the gap year program can't be amended so that it's catered to disadvantaged people, and we do this within budget without having to spend $1.2 million extra?
I couldn't answer that question, Councillor. I don't know. We would be going to the schools for their Year 12 students and asking for students with a disability or an Indigenous student from those schools. So I don't know whether we would be able to get the candidates for that, but we can certainly look at that.
Councillor Villescu.
My question is if Council is concerned about the figure involved in this, is it something that we could do with two traineeships a year, Indigenous and or disabled participants, and looking to equalise that number over the period of the program? Is that something that we can look at if possible? Because you might find some people that fit into both categories.
Correct, and yes. Yeah, and simply we can have any iteration of this, so any number. It could be used as a trial, it could be two, it could be one. It's completely up to you. We're just trying to put something up here which is going to meet our RAP and also our equity and diversity intentions, representing the people who live in our community.
I personally do see the benefit in this. And I think it is, you're creating capacity in the community. It is a significant investment in a small amount of people. However, they're going to be working for us. They are going to be doing work in the City of Marion. I don't know if members want to look at four or two on an annual basis if we're worried about the actual ongoing cost. But I do think that, and let's have a look, that people that do have a disability, a lot of them are very disadvantaged in finding work or even getting a chance, and the same with people from an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander background. It is very hard. And the facts still remain that almost half of the males at the age of 45 from an Aboriginal background will have deceased by the age of 45, almost half, and almost a third of women at that age. So it's some pretty horrible stats out there for this group in our community. And there's no fault by the fact that they were in a country that had people come along and it was colonised and the situation changed for them in a very negative way. And this is about moving forward and getting the most out of residents perhaps that won't have the opportunity to contribute a lot or to their full capacity.
Thank you, Councillor Villescu. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, I think the sentiment around this seems to be fairly consistent around the horseshoe. Probably the thing we're balking at is the amount of money that's tied up with it. Is there some reason that we can't run this for a year and have a look at it? I mean, for us, $1.2 million is a big number in the long-term financial plan. $120,000 to have a look at this program is probably something which would make more sense to me anyway. So I'd happily endorse this for a year trial, and then would have a look at it and say, did the people who undertook this project, did they get any value out of it? And if they don't get any value out of it, well, absolutely we should scrap it. But as is probably the case, they're probably going to see value out of it, and we're probably going to keep it going. So I think that would allay a lot of the fears around the horseshoe about assigning such a large proportion of money to an unknown at this stage.
Just on that, Councillor Pryde, so a question back the other way. Is 1 year really enough time to do a test? And I believe an apprenticeship is 4 years anyway. So we're looking at one lot of traineeships going through the program. So it's not 1 year, it's actually looking at the traineeship for those people.
I would have said we're going to know after 1 year. But I know, okay, I get that you can't break that up. I guess.
I don't think you get the grant funding, do you, if you're only going to do 1 year?
It depends on the program that they're running. There are 2 years, there are 3 years, and there are 4 years. But yeah, you've got to make a commitment to the educational institution as well as the trainee to give them employment. But it could be that we have to trial with one from each group.
So is this in a traineeship or are we now on apprenticeships?
It's actually a traineeship, but linked to an education.
And will the education and the outcome be a future employee of the City of Marion?
Potentially, but as with the Gap Year students, and both of our Gap Year students from last year have left and gone to university, or one to TAFE, so there's no guarantee they'll be looking for that. But,
is what I'm looking for, Mr. School, is that at the end of the process, if these people complete the process, become qualified, are they being trained in something which is somewhere where we do need those people? So my link would be we struggle to get people to work at the LKCC of an Indigenous background that have the skills necessary. Is it a traineeship that is going to link to something like that to give them that skill base?
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a link to a job outcome at the end if they qualify for that role. So they would have to actually pass their studies and be good enough to get the role in the competitive field if there was a role there.
Okay, can I have a show of hands on this one? First of all, we'll put it as it is in the book. Show of hands on it as it is. 1, 2, 3. Okay, can I have a show of hands for a shortened version, a trial? Or down to just two people instead of four? Is that what you want to vote on first? So we've just voted on four people doing the whole program for 10 years, was it? So now we're looking at two for 10 years. Show of... Adrian.
That reflect.
Well, it's 4 divided by 346, so... What? 1.1%.
Ship. What would be a practical shorter period? Because I guess if people are asked to vote on a shorter period...
Okay, so if it was a shorter period, if we looked at the time of the traineeships, maybe that's the 4 years, 3 to 4 years. Or was it 3 years?
I could say that we could get traineeships on a 2-year traineeship and two trainees, and so that would be 60,000 plus 60,000. We could say that we'll go for a 2-year traineeship as a trial. There are traineeships for 1 year, but it depends on the qualification that you're seeking.
Councillor Crossan.
Yeah, look, I think we're starting to move into the realms of let's guess what we can and can't do. Can we? I'd like to move that this item be removed from the list, brought back with some options available and some outcomes, because it does have some merit, but I think is where we don't actually see it, and we don't really know what the options are for 2 years and what the outcomes will be. So my preference would be to put a hold until we can actually consider it with a bit more information.
All right, so the option then is to look at deferring it to next meeting, So as options come back, so it still goes into the budget?
Well, it could be next meeting, it could be after the budget, it could be in the future. I'm not really fixed on a date.
So at this stage, we're going to vote on it coming back for the 10th of April meeting. Okay, so can I have a show of hands with options being showed? Okay, so that's unanimous. All right, so number six, Valuing Marion's Nature, replacement for the Discovery Circle program, which is on page 119. Any comments, or do we go straight to a vote on this one?
Just, I'm not sure.
Sorry, Velisco and then Crossland. Go to the vote, or Crossland.
I just had a question.
Right.
And I'm not sure the right staff are here, but when I looked at this earlier, it sort of complemented our streetscaping and treescaping, but I'm not sure whether it's actually being documented as that it can also, as well as the beautification, can lead to savings maybe in irrigation and in grass cutting. And it's a little bit difficult without doing a project like this as a one-off to look at the cost benefit of that. So again, I wondered if this ought to be just done for 1 year rather than long-term financial plan. And at least then we can review it, and that would be my option.
I'd like to ask a question following on from that, is how long was the Discovery Circle program for?
Through the chair, that program was for 5 years that we worked with the University of South Australia on the Discovery Circle program. It used to be called the Citizen Science program. So this Valuing Nature initiative is more about providing community opportunities to come into our natural environment. So things like the BioBlitz, which is what we ran with the Discovery Circle. The challenge we've had with working with UniSA is that we have to work in a partnership, so we don't have the flexibility to run the programs in the reserves and the open space where we would like to run them. So that's why we're proposing to move to a model where we coordinate the program and run it ourselves.
Yeah, thank you. I was actually cross-purposes, so apologies for that.
Councillor Pratt.
Just a comment on the BioBlitz system. That whole thing worked really, really well. And I'd be pretty keen on continuing that or that sort of vein. The question I've got relates to the centre that's going to be built at the Oaklands Wetlands and whether there's another partnership brewing there. I guess that's all for the future. I think looking at a project like this and looking to review it after a certain time would be my personal preference about this. Because I think if it was the BioBlitz model, that seems to go really well. And I don't know whether we quite can cut it.
Councillor Hull and Velisco.
Councillor Pryor touched on a very good point about the joint university project that we're going to have at Oaklands, and I'd be disappointed if we didn't have access to that building and work in a relationship with them. The other thing is, Madam Deputy Mayor, with the Oaklands Crossing project, there's going to be an enormous number of trees removed, and I believe that our parks and gardens people have got opportunity to get two things from those tree removals. One is obviously a lot of bark chips, which is not ideal. The other is substantial hollow logs and substantial pieces of tree trunks and the like that can be relocated to our reserves for habitat. This would be a project that I would hope that they would embrace to actually not have those pieces of hollow logs sitting in Oaklands Reserve and we wonder what we're going to do with them because we just don't have the resources. So I think it's important that we actually fund this so we do give the hollow logs and the other bits of trees and the like the opportunity to actually be deployed for the purposes that they've been retained. And I'm glad they have been retained. It's not a story that's probably well known to the community yet. It should be, and that's why I'm hoping for more education in the community about those trees. But we need to back that up. We need to back this up by having resources and money available so those sort of things can be done. That's my view about this one. And all the other bits and pieces will come into it. The buyer bits, the relationship with Flinders Uni, all of those entities should be able to pick up on some exciting stuff happening at the cost, sadly, of a lot of trees in the Oaklands crossing area.
Okay, let's have a show of hands on this one. All those in favour of this one? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 6 and 2 again. Okay, so we're moving on to number 8, Young Street Lander Road Upgrade, which is on page 127. And I would like to take the chance to just make a comment on this one, being that that is in my ward area, and it has been on our ward agenda since we started. But I do want to ask staff a question, and I believe this one should be deferred until the next meeting, because we need to look at how this particular one is impacted by promises made about the Candy Road, South Road, Lander Road intersection being opened up, and how that is going to affect this intersection for the future, and just what money state government are putting towards it. So I think we should defer that until the next meeting.
Young Street's the road that goes into Onkapringa, is it not?
Sorry, say that again.
Young Street.
Young Street, yes. It goes across the expressway and into Onkapringa.
Oh, well, it really doesn't matter then, does it?
No, it's the top end where it intersects with Lander. That's been a very difficult intersection for many years. But the one that we're talking about is Candy Road and Lander. South Road, what they have promised at election is that that will be opened up across Candy Road, so the traffic, instead of going either way on South Road, will now come straight across. We will have a big impact on that for the amount of traffic coming through our council area. So the impact of that change will impact this intersection greatly. And something will need to be done. So I believe that needs to be deferred until we get more information. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, look, just to agree with you there, this now would form part of a state government election promise, and if the Liberals do open up Candy Road, they will actually need to improve this intersection to make the traffic work. So I think we should just put all this on hold and let's see if they come to the party, and they should be paying for that, not us.
Okay, so is everyone in favour of that we defer that one? Yep. I need to show of hands. unanimous. All right, so we've got the MCC Plaza activation number 9, and that is on page 129. Councillor Pryor.
I know this is going to be a little conjecturous, but I think we should take this out of the budget, because there's a big project going along just up the road. We're looking for connectivity into it. Now, unless these works are integral to that, I don't think they belong there yet. When the Oaklands Crossing is finished, and when the Oaklands Crossing is in a state where we need to look at this area, we know more about how the walkway is going to go through there, the connectivity, we can look at funding this solution, but I don't think it's next year. And it's only 40k anyway, so...
All right, so you want this one deferred till next year?
Can I ask a question? Can the staff better explain what this is all about? Because on paper, I sort of struggle as well. Now, just to qualify that question... The media rightly reported on this project not long ago, where we spent $750,000 on a study and a contest, and we ended up spending $40,000 on infrastructure. We've got another $40,000 now, so we're doubling our money, so that's nice. But look, to be fair, I'd like to know what you've got planned with this, because... Councillor Pryor does make a point about the relevance about the elephant in the room, the Oaklands Crossing happening nearby. If you really need this money, please let us know.
Through the chair, so the $40,000 that's being sought here would look to revisit the designs that have already been done, so not to lose the value, the money that's already been expended on there, but to look at a more cost-effective solution to designing the plaza. It would work alongside the designs for the rail crossing to ensure that they connect together. So it's not delivering anything next year. It's reviewing the existing designs with the intent of reducing the delivery costs to achieve a well-designed plaza that connects with the precinct.
What's the prospect of, you know, that $40,000, what's the prospect of us getting any considerable monies to contribute towards the plaza itself? You know, if there's something I need to know, that there's some, you know, sensational deal being done with the new government or whatever, then I'd feel better about, you know, expediting the $40,000 or maybe even more. But is there anything brewing that we should be aware of?
Through the chair, no, there's no agreements or partnership funding at the moment, but with the revised designs and costs, with this sort of project, we would seek partnership funding, and the project is well suited to project funding, attracting external funding in terms of, you know, the relationship with state government, having a state aquatic centre there, and you know, connecting with the rail precinct as well.
All right. So this $40,000 is designed to keep this spade ready, hot to trot in the event that there's funding available.
Through the chair, that's exactly what it would do, and we'd look at things like discussing with Mr. Salmon. In the original designs, it looked at putting all new paving down in that space, which is a big area, so if you look at more cost-effective solutions, there's a significant savings there. We would revisit on some of the built designs that were recommended in the original ones, like the arbour, and look for savings in that space as well.
Okay. Councillor Prime.
Just a quick one. Isn't that kind of business as usual for the council? I mean, why has it got a special budget?
Through the chair, it's really getting council's direction that you wishes to revisit the existing designs, and it's seeking just $40,000 to have a consultant to revisit that and develop some refined designs to bring back to council. So what we're trying to do is not just throw away the work and the investment that's already occurred, but to deliver a cost-effective solution similar to what we did with the master plans for the sporting facilities.
Madam Deputy Mayor, look, you know, this project is something I'd like to see out in my time on this council. However, I'm reluctant to actually encourage others to actually add to the $750,000 another $40,000, and actually have that ceiling even higher. If administration come back to me and said, and you know, and I know this work's going on anyway. If Mr. Scull come back to us in July and said, look, the new government settled in and I've had a good chat to them and they think they'd be able to do this, that and that, then don't be surprised if you can come back to us and we'll gladly put our hand up for $40,000 and more, because there's a real prospect of something happening. So I'm at this point, I'm reluctant to spend more on this project. Very sadly, I've got to tell you, because I just think we need to, particularly in the eyes, under scrutiny, we need to justify every dollar now.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Velisco, Crossland and then Velisco.
Yeah, just a very quick comment. Look, we've had conversations about this and members are pretty keen to see something happen. We talked about linking up with the SA Aquatic Centre to maybe add value to the space. I'm really not happy with funding more consultants to come up with things. I mean, we're not having an even good look in this council with consultants. Not as bad as the previous council, but we still question some of the value in which they're adding to these projects. But maybe we should rethink it and maybe say to the Aquatic Centre, hey, we're keen to get this space used. You go away, come up with a plan and bring it back to us, and we'll look at it and whether we co-contribute it, and do it the other way around, let the state government come up with a plan.
Councillor Velisco.
I think most of the money we spend on that area needs to be for something tangible. I think council's fatigued about spending for plans. I'd rather see the $40,000 knocked down the wall and put in a small sort of playing facility or something, even a nature playground in that green area in what's currently the State Aquatic Centre. I think Councillor Hull raises a good point, and coming from the ward councillor, it's quite pertinent. If there is an opportunity for funding, then we can seriously look at, okay, how do we adapt our designs? But I don't think we adapt our designs yet, because the risk is, especially going into the caretaker period, that we'll have some plans that will need adapting again later on, just like the original ones were at the end of the last term. So I don't support the funding.
Okay, so I'm hearing from everyone this is a defer to another time and another shape. Show of hands to... Yep. Okay. So... Yes. Show of hands. Deferring, yes. Yes, so that's unanimous. Coastal walkway reinstatement, which is on page 132. Councillor Crossland.
Just a question to staff. Is this coming, I believe it should have come to this meeting, but can you confirm, is it coming to next council meeting, the actual real motion for what the designs are, etc.?
We believe it's in a forum first. We're just checking the list. Yeah, 24th of April.
Look, as it's coming to a forum and then a likely motion, I can't see the point in voting for something which members haven't seen a design of, neither have I. So I'm happy for this to be deferred until after the
April. Right, so we know
April
that's coming
forum.
Up in April, so everyone's happy to just drop that one. Yep. And the last one then is the tennis facilities at Seacombe Heights on page 135.
Yep. Councillor speaking to those, this is the only one, project to do with the tennis upgrade in the Warrapringle ward. There have been some courts at Mitchell Park disbanded with, and we now have the Dover Gardens Club next year without surfaces that they can play on. They'll have to relocate in the short term and maybe come back. We also have an unsatisfactory surfaces for Seacombe High. So this is one of our major high schools in our area, and we have this very great opportunity of working together, which is expensive. We had already committed $170,000, and now when having a good look at it, it came up to $480,000. We are still juggling to find out which is the best premises for us, because in Seacombe High there's a retaining wall that will cost. But these tennis courts are needed, both by the high school and by one of our clubs, and so I support this.
Question, Councillor Hull.
Madam Deputy, I need to declare a conflict of interest. My daughter attends that school, so...
Because we're not in formal proceedings, is Councillor Hull leave, or does he stay and just not take part in that? Sorry, just wait a minute, Councillor Hull. We think it might be an exemption. No,
may I ask a question while we're waiting?
Yes, you can wait, ask a question while we're waiting.
My question is, it's not quite clear how much the Department of Education are actually putting into this project. Can you just clarify that?
Just a potential.
Musical chairs tonight.
Through the Chair, this project, as indicated in the notes section of the business case, is still in concept development, so we still are working through the final costs, and that includes agreement on partnership funding.
So how have you arrived at 480 if you have no idea of partnership funding or costs?
We do have some idea. We've got through initial costs. There's some elements that we're still finalising costs on, and we'll bring a further report to Council once they're finalised. And the intent would be, because it's a shared facility between the school and Council, that there would be partnership funding from DEX.
So have you arrived at 480? What is the total cost?
So those costs are for the lights and court servicing. We're still just finalising some costs on the retaining wall as well.
So out of that, if 480 is the total cost, at the moment it's costed that DEX pay nothing, is that what we're being told?
There are considerable other costs. We need to supply a club room, car parks and all of that. So we have that costing. That is indicative to get going because of the pressure and time and the fact that the courts are now unusable.
I think this is a bit like the coastal walking trail. We've got no information enough to make a decision, and I think this should be deferred until staff can provide a full report.
Yes. So just clarifying, Bruce, your situation.
Through the Chair, yes, there is an exemption for an actual conflict of interest. But if you are a parent of a student at a school, it's an exemption. You can stay in the meeting, but we can declare it through the minute process, and we'll also state in the minutes how you voted on the matter.
Okay, so Councillor Villescu.
I was wondering if this is eligible for the services funding that was advertised from Office and Rec and Sport.
Through the Chair, I'd need to check that. With being on a school grounds, there may be a criteria that makes it ineligible. But as Councillor Telfer indicated, what we would be seeking with any joint use facility with a school is partnership funding. So the cost here is an estimated contribution from Council, and we would be seeking funding from DEPT.
Can I have a show of hands who's supporting this one then? We'll do that first. So show of hands as to who is supporting two. We'll make that three because I support that one. So three, two, five. So can I then change that to who would like to see this one come back after further information from through the plans, a timeline, perhaps, Councillor Telfer? Would you suggest a timing?
End of May.
Is that enough time to get it in the budget? Yep. Okay. So if we defer this one till the end of May to have more information, are we going to have enough time then to get that information? Okay, show of hands, yes, that's unanimous. All right, so then just before we go back to formal proceedings, I need to just, Councillor Pryor.
There's another item in there which I'd like to talk about, which you haven't had a chance to talk about. It is our ill-fated, hopefully, weed steamer.
Can you point out where it is on the listing?
It is in the supposedly resolved initiatives, although we only ever resolved to consider it, not to add it to the budget, in my humble opinion.
Can we double check that recommendation? Tony, are you able to tell us about that resolution that we did?
Through the Chair, I don't have the exact date of the recommendation of the resolution, but we did discuss this at some length. There was a formal report that was put to all members, and it was agreed that the $25,000 for the cost of the equipment and an ongoing $5,000 per annum for training and maintenance, etc., would be considered as part of the annual budget. My advice on that particular night is that it is fair that from time to time we are getting a little bit of feedback from the community about the use of sprays like this. I remind members that the use of this weed steamer would only be for playgrounds and not other areas, which would still be using the normal herbicide. My position on that night, and it hasn't changed, is that we do have trained staff in this particular matter. We do have material data sheets that show it's a safe product, and if this steam cleaner was removed from the list of initiatives, we would continue to use our trained staff with a safe product. But I defer back to the report and recommendation from members as to where they'd like to take it.
Councillor Pryor?
The weed steam is diesel, right? Diesel run, diesel powered? It's got a diesel motor. Diesel fumes are a type 1 carcinogen. That's obviously worse than the type 2A carcinogen, according to my scientific background. So it becomes a question of concentrations and exposures and all those things. There's nothing in the STS now. There's nothing in the safety data sheet about the fact that this is carcinogenic. In fact, it says quite the opposite. The safety data sheet, and I'm going to read you the safety data sheet because it's important. It says carcinogenic effects, if I could even say it. The rats given oral doses up to 400 milligrams per kilogram per day did not show any signs of cancer, nor did dogs given oral doses up to 500 milligrams per kilogram per day. Or mice fed glyphosate at doses of up to 4,500 milligrams per kilogram per day. It appears that glyphosate is not carcinogenic. This backs up Mr. Lyons. It's a safe product. I just don't think we should react to the scaremongering of, probably the internet, I think, is the scaremongering. According to the literature, according to all the documentation, this is not carcinogenic. And it's just $25,000 for a big steamer. That apparently I'm hearing on good authority from the other side of the room doesn't work. Why is it? He's relatively good authority at something. any of the guys over there. I'd really like to take this out of the budget. I think it's $25,000 that we don't need to spend.
We have a resolution to explore it, so... Yeah, to consider it. So
I consider it, and I consider it's a bad idea.
It can be removed. Show of hands, then, who wants to remove the weed steamer from the budget? Okay, 5-3. All right, now, can we go back to our original motion? Before we go into formal procedures, I will just reiterate that we are taking out numbers 5, 8, 9, 10 and 11, and I'll state what those are. Number 5 was the Indigenous and Disability Traineeships, which has been deferred and brought back to us with options. Number 8, the Yonge Street, Lander Street upgrade, deferring that to find out what the Liberal Party is going to do about that. 9, the MCC Plaza activation defer to the next council or as other opportunities arise. 10, coastal walkway reinstatement to be deferred because that's coming to an EM forum shortly. And 11, also defer tennis facilities at Seacombe Heights until the end of May for, again, further information regarding the partnership with the Education Department. All right, so we are left with the list up there, which is number one, Marion Cultural Centre External Hire Enhancement Project. Two, replacement of the asset management ICT system. Three, design for erosion control at River Parade, Hallett Cove. Four, City of Marion Fringe at the Marion Cultural Centre. Six, valuing Marion's nature. Seven, project management system. And 12, enterprise data warehouse BI reporting solution. So at that point, I'd like to move back into formal procedures. So, now, we had Councillor Crossland and, no, that was suspending, Councillor Telfer and Councillor Hull moved and seconded the motion.
Would it be better if I withdrew the original motion, given that we have had updated knowledge since then?
We just went into out of normal procedures to discuss some of those things. If you are happy to just keep moving and seconding that motion with those current ones there, that's up to you.
I can do that. I would have thought I needed to withdraw my prior motion.
We hadn't voted on it.
Yeah, but I need to withdraw it.
It can be varied.
I would like
with
to vary
with consent of the floor. Okay, and that's the same with Councillor Hull. Do you agree to the varying of the motion? Yes or no, please, Councillor Hull. It's getting late. Okay.
Procedural motion.
Yes.
Is there anything we need to extend time for tonight? Is there
Let's just see how we go. Let's just get through this one. And
are there any other items?
We're going to do them en bloc, some of the next items. So can we just...
In 10 minutes.
Consider that in 5 minutes' time. Let's just move on. Okay. So anyone speaking against the motion? All those in favour? Those against? It's carried by majority. All right, so we're looking at the next are all the policies and reports. So I think we could do this en bloc. The Code of Conduct Procedure for Investigating Complaints Report, the Complaints and Grievance Policy, the Caretaker Policy, and the Whistleblowers Policy. So anyone who's willing to move them en bloc?
Yes, I would move those. I do suggest some changes. I don't believe that City Limits should have any candidates' information on there. I believe that if we are going to, I think we keep the actual election politics out of it. I think if we are going to publish anything, it needs to
You're talking about the caretaker policy?
The caretaker policy. Correct? I think it needs to be a separate publication. I also think I would like to see something where those members not contesting an election perhaps do have an opportunity to contribute to that, as long as it's not a political statement.
Okay, so a question to staff, if I may, then,
Through the Chair, the last two elections, we have used the city limits to promote all candidates. So what we have done is remove the elected member columns. All candidates, we link it directly to the website that is provided by the LGA, which again provides all candidates, and that same information is replicated in our City Limits magazine just as another form of getting the candidates out there. So that opportunity is provided to everybody. In regards to a member who will be effectively resigning and not standing again at the elections, I don't see there being an issue in including something within the City Limits magazine as their opportunity to say farewell to the community. So we could certainly add that in.
I obviously didn't remember those other that we did it previously. To just add a question, do we actually do something separate as well? Do we send out another publication as well with the candidates' information?
Yeah, so as part of the election process, the Electoral Commissioner, when they issue the voting papers, also put out a booklet which will have all the candidates for that ward and the mayoral candidates. So they produce
that as well. Did we put out a book? I've got one more thing after this. Did we put out a book?
as
well? I don't believe so. I think we just did the city limits. I'm just looking at Craig, and yeah, he's nodding at me. Yeah.
All right, cool. And the other thing is, in regards to the whistleblowers, my question is, if I am not happy with someone in an organisation and I think that they've possibly done something wrong, I want to dig up dirt on that person, what are the rules about me accessing information, not for the purpose of my role, but for the purpose of trying to dig out up dirt? So, for example, accessing customer records, things like that, that I may have access to, but I don't actually need it for my job.
Yeah, it would be through a Freedom of Information request. That would be the opportunity.
But as a staff member going through whistleblowers, internal whistleblowers, so if I've got it in for somebody...
Sorry, just to clarify, the whistleblowers is a public policy, so it applies to community members as well. It's not just an internal function.
Yeah, sure, but I'm talking about internally. I bring it from a position of protecting the integrity of the information the organisation has, privacy, and also appropriate access to materials for your job. If I am a staff member and I have concerns about someone, there should be a way that that information can be sought. But if I need to access information outside my role to do that, then I have some concerns, because I actually think that I'm then going into information in an appropriate manner. However, we need to articulate that if people want to find something out, what are the ways to get it that are appropriate? Because we don't want, obviously, cover-ups, but you don't want someone going on a fishing exhibition using public resources, which technically that's not what they should be there for.
No. So our records management system is fully audited. So if a staff member enters a document or if they go in through a system, that can be certainly traced in regards to why. Those matters that are confidential are locked down to staff that have access to those documents. If a staff member had a concern about another staff member, as a public officer, they have an obligation under the ICAC Act to raise it with the appropriate people, either internally or through the Office of Public Integrity. So we run various trainings across the organisation to make sure that staff are aware of their obligations. I'm not sure if that quite answers your question. Yep.
Fine.
So anybody who is a public officer, which would include staff and elected members, if they have and I think under the guidelines that is issued by ICAC, it says a reasonable suspicion, so you need to have a solid basis for those suspicions. You have a positive obligation to report it, either through our internal mechanisms. Yes. And you may also find that if you fail to do so, it could also be considered an offence under the ICAC Act as well.
All right. I haven't had someone to second those reports yet. Someone to second it? Councillor Crossland? Councillor Holland, Councillor Crossland. And we've got about 4 minutes left.
In terms of the caretaker period, can I have an assurance from the administration that during that caretaker period, matters of critical importance to the council are not withheld from the council? During the last caretaker period, there was a serious issue with that very issue, that critical information was withheld from this council under the suggestion that we were in caretaker period, so we weren't told. And that actually has been dealt with by the appropriate authorities, but I'd like a commitment from the administration that we won't go through that again.
Yeah. Yep, through the chair, it's highlighted in section 8.6 of the policy. Basically says that anything that is considered significant or urgent will be brought to the council with a number of parameters around that, so council can actually make an informed decision if required to do so. So it is highlighted in the policy how, if in the event that that occurs, how it will happen.
I guess I'm highlighting that there's obligations not only on elected members but on staff as well. That would be good.
Okay.
But can we also be very tight with that? In other words, that we don't have situations of elected members using council vehicles to campaign in, and that we actually keep all that in check, because once again, we've had instances in the past where the wrong thing was done.
Okay, thank you. Can I just have a show of hands to, you know, it's the time thing. Show of hands on this motion. Oh, it's comments. Okay, then before you do that, we will then move. Councillor Villisca, did you still want to move the time extension? It is 9:28. So do you want to move time extension now?
Are there critical things that we need to do this meeting, or can we hold off?
We could do en bloc the corporate reports, which there are four there. We could get them out of the way.
Is there anything else that needs to be done, essentially? Like, do the corporate reports have to be done this meeting?
Yeah.
Do?
No, there's nothing else.
Another 15 minutes?
Shouldn't need that much, but yes, okay. Councillor Telfer. Oh, sorry, second that. It's getting late. Seconder, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour of the extension of time? Those against? It's carried by majority. Okay, Councillor Telfer, sorry.
When we talk about this policy, I think that we need to write much more clearly the whole issue of ownership and usage during the caretaker period. It is quite difficult, because there will still be, during caretaker period, sometimes when we will need some of our equipment, and it's obviously for the use of the council focus. But when it comes to things like mobile phones, it gets trickier, and so I believe that it needs to be well defined, and looking through this, I can't find it clearly enough. I agree the big items of cars, but also in the past there are some fine lines about usage of our iPads. We can't easily hand these back and continue our role. We can't easily hand back our mobile phones and continue our role, but the way they're used is going to need to be defined very carefully. So we need to add those in.
So through the Chair, under the Elections Act, it's clear that an elected member cannot use any council resource for election purposes. So it's actually defined within the legislation. It does become a grey area because you are responsible for still carrying out your official functions and duties as an elected member. Members just need to be clear in regards to what they are doing as part of their campaign versus what they are actually doing as their role as an elected member.
So does that need to be into this policy, or is it because it's
in the legislation? So, I mean, we can repeat the legislation in there, but we've tended to try and stick away from repeating legislation within policy because it just ends up being a duplicate.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Villisca.
So is that different for state and federal MPs? So if state and federal MP were to campaign, they would use the business cards issued through their office. Is that a different thing? They have have more flexibility?
I'm unsure about what their direct, I guess, requirements are of theirs, but I know that ours is quite specific in that we can't use our council resources.
Just worry about yourselves.
So. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so can I have a show of hands? Sorry. All those for the motion. It's late. And that was unanimous. Okay. The number 13, the corporate reports for information and noting. We've got four reports there. The Tonsley Greenway Service Review Finance Report and the Work Health Safety Monthly Performance Report. Do we want to do them en bloc, or does anyone want to take anything out to discuss?
Question with the Tonsley, did the administration ever get any explanation from DIPTI as to why they went ahead and put all that infrastructure in the way of the proposed greenway? and bugger us up. Did anybody ask the question why that happened? Because we were given an undertaking that they wouldn't. Because we cited the Mike Turterbike Way as an example of what we didn't want to happen, and they gave assurances, and yet it happened anyway. It's ruined a magnificent project.
Can I just answer quickly from my viewpoint? This is not new infrastructure beside the Clove Valley Park Primary School. This is the actual trafficking of the traffic signalling of the train line, which has been there a long time. So I'm making the assumption that the utilities and the actual trafficking signal boxes and things are something that's been there for as long as the train line itself.
All right.
That needs to be sorted. Like, is that true, or are we talking about infrastructure that went in with the electrification? Because that's what we were led to believe.
Through the chair, my understanding is the infrastructure that there has been there for a long time, as indicated by Councillor Telfer. I can check with staff if there was also additional infrastructure that was put in as part of the electrification.
If it's been there since steam trains were going down there, why didn't somebody tell us that right from the outset?
This is coming back as a report further in May. This is just a progress report on it. So, Bruce, I would like to take those questions on notice to be included in that report in May.
I'm really determined to get to the bottom of this. What is the real situation? I don't want to attribute blame to a government department that's really got no blame at all. And if it's going back to infrastructure that's been there since steam trains went down there, fair enough. But if that was the case, then it raises questions about our staff advice that didn't flag this right from the outset when we started putting money aside for the Bleeding Greenway.
Through the chair, we'll take on that feedback and make sure that that's covered in the report coming to council.
Okay, is there any other comments about any of the reports? Can I have someone move the four reports then? Councillor Vlescu, seconded Councillor Telfer. Any further comments on the reports? And I put the motion. All those in favour? I've got the words right this time. Against? All right, it's carried by majority. Okay, so just to finish off stating what we had on the agenda for tonight, the motions with notice, one was dealt with, the dog park location was dealt with earlier, the purchase of the new computer software we dealt with under the new initiatives, and the Indigenous and Disability traineeships is to be brought back as a further report. So they have all been, in effect, dealt with and done. We table the questions with notice. And we have a couple of minutes from the time that was moved. Any motions without notice? All right. Then, just before I declare... questions with notice, just, without notice, sorry.
Just, Your Worship, I just wanted to thank you for your, stewardship in this uncertain time. So thank you very much for all the work that you've put in and time and really sort of taken the job, sort of quite thoroughly, and thank you for your good chairing, and I hope you won't have to worry about stress-free as of next meeting.
Yes. Thank you, Councillor Vlescu, and I did want to, before closing the meeting, say thank you to everyone for their assistance during this time. I have thoroughly enjoyed chairing and being in the role, and I also especially want to thank staff for all of the assistance and help that they have given. Councillor Hull. Yes?
I have an answer to my last question without notice.
Could you refresh my memory, please, Councillor Hull? But yes, certainly you should.
I've actually forgotten what it was now. volunteers, no, that was a different
one. That was a different one.
That was during...
I don't remember what it was from the last meeting. We'll have to check that out, but we will get that back to you. Thank you. I declare the meeting closed at 9:38.
or 2138.
Well done,
Chair. Thanks. We got there. I was getting tired.